Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
We have just celebrated the birth of Jesus yesterday. I hope you had a great day. I hope the message encouraged you. I hope that we have set ourselves up for the miraculous. And we talked about Mary and how she set herself up for the miraculous. And if you didn't get to listen to that, you're more than welcome to do that online. But we celebrated Jesus coming into the world. And then, as we know, we don't hear much about Jesus after that. And the next time we see Jesus is actually 12 years later. And I just want to look at what happened from that point on. Because I think it's really important, although we celebrate Jesus' birth, that's wonderful, but it's really important to work out what he did after that. And stories that we read and teaching that Jesus gave, it's so important to not get stuck at Christmas. Okay, how many of us know that a lot of people get stuck at Christmas? They celebrate the Savior's birth, and that's all they do all year. We know that that's not God's plan for your life, amen? And so we pick up the story, and we see a story here that completely fascinates me, and we're going to just pull it apart today. And I believe with all my heart that every time you read the Word of God, friends, it's not there just for historical value. It's not there to just teach you a story or so that you would know the story and then for it to not have an impact on your life somehow. When you read the Bible, friends, that day, it's supposed to have an impact on you as to how you treat people, how you treat your partner, how you treat yourself, and how you treat your God. Amen. We don't just read the Bible for information. It's supposed to do something in your spirit that causes you to live for God. Come on, someone needs to say amen. May we never just read the Bible for information. It's always for transformation. Amen. It's supposed to do something in you. And this is one of those stories that you could just read it. You could just read it and just go, oh, that's interesting. No. There's something in here. It's deeper than that. And I love, so can we go a little bit deep today? If you're new here today, we're going to scuba dive a little, okay? I mean, it's nice to look at the ocean, but then it's great to put your goggles on and your scuba gear. And when you know, there's a whole lot of fish under there. Right, there's a whole lot of things to see. So today we're going to look at some coral and some sharks and everything. All right, here we go. I mean that. Yeah, there's going to be some sharks in here. Here we go. Okay, so verse 41 of Luke chapter 2 says this. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, that's Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, watch this, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. It's a really important part of the story. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand that statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. You thought it was bad that you lost your kid for 3 or 4 minutes at a shopping center somewhere. They lost God for 3 days. This is the original Home Alone story. They took off without him. They thought he was with him, with them. They thought he was there. And then they get to Paris and discover little, what's his name? Kevin is left behind. They left the Son of God behind. Now, some of you are thinking, how irresponsible of Mary and Joseph, right? Well, just a little bit of history here, guys. The women and children would leave 3 to 4 hours earlier than the men, okay? Because the kids don't walk very fast and ladies like to talk a little bit and just, you know, fellowship sort of stuff, right? But so the men would send the women and children ahead, okay? Just, not days ahead, just 3 or 4 hours ahead. And then they would meet together in the evening and then they would set up camp because it was a few days' journey, right? And so that's what they were doing. So what happened here? Jesus was 12, 1 year off his bar mitzvah. So at that point in time, they start educating the young Jewish men to become men. Isn't that a great tradition, by the way? Where there's a line in the sand where you go, you were a child, but now you're an adult. And the Jewish tradition is that at 13, you have your bar mitzvah. Now you're a man. You're a man. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of growing to do, but you're treated as an adult at that point. So Mary would have been thinking, he's 12 years old. He's obviously with his dad. Coming a few hours later, he would have been thinking, he's not 13 yet. He's still a child. He's going with the kids. And so Jesus got caught in the gap, right? He was very busy in a temple somewhere doing what he was called to do. But they lost sight of Jesus. Now, I've got to tell you something. Thinking that Jesus is not with you in life is a pretty scary thing. It's a very scary thing. I don't know about you sometimes, but I have those moments, guys, where usually it's when some bad things are going on in my life. Sometimes it's just I don't sense God's presence. And does anyone ever feel like sometimes, Jesus, where are you? And I feel like I've lost him. And the beauty of the Christmas story is that it tells us that Emmanuel is God with us. And you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is with us during your good times, during your bad times, during your hard times, during your highs, the Bible tells us that Jesus is with us. And it's a scary thing when you don't know whether God's with you. You know, like Daniel in the lion's den. Do you remember the story of Daniel? So here's Daniel, stands up for what he believes and ends up in the lion's den. But you've got to understand, do you know that Daniel didn't know that God was going to shut the mouths of the lion? Do you know that he wasn't thrown into there into the den with lions? And then he goes, hang on a minute, in verse 43, it tells me. I don't care, because I know verse 43 comes up very, very soon, and I know that God shuts the mouths of the lions, and it's going to be. He didn't know that at the time. He just had to trust that God was with him. Amen. You know, when Paul was being stoned to death, you know, as he saw the rocks coming, he goes, hang on a minute, verse 12, I know that I get raised up again. No, but we get to read that and we get to see behind the scenes that God was with these people. Amen. God was with Peter in the prison. You know, Peter didn't say, just a few more verses, I get out of here soon. He didn't know if he was ever going to get out. Friends, our salvation is secure in Christ. Amen. God is with us. God is for us. Someone needs to give the Lord a hand about now. But listen, that's not the point of my message today. Because I've got to be honest with you. Thinking that God isn't with you when he is distressing. Thinking that God isn't with you when he actually is distressing for you. Unnecessarily distressing. But thinking that God is with you when he's not is very dangerous. And I've got to be honest, that's probably more what I'm going to be talking to you guys about today, because they left the house of God that day, but they left God in the house. They didn't even know that they had left Jesus behind. And I've just got to tell you something, guys. My message today is I just want to bring home the point, friends, it's so important that we don't do church and experience God in this room and then leave Jesus in the house. It's really important that we don't leave Jesus in the temple. We need to celebrate him. We need to worship him. We need to hear his word. And then we need to take him with us out of the room, into our cars, into next year. We need to, friends, how many of us know? I'm not being critical, but let's just be honest. How many people do we know personally, but right around the world? millions and millions of people would have gone into God's house somewhere around the world and proclaimed His name and sung carols about Silent Night, Holy Night, and about a virgin. And everybody turned up on that day looking good, smelling good, but they left Jesus in the house until next year when they come back again and sing the same songs again. But may God forbid that that's what we do. No, no, no. We're going to celebrate Him. We're going to worship Him. And then we're also going to take Him into our workplace, into our families. Come on, let's give Him a roar of praise. That's what we are called to do. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary? They're walking back to Jerusalem together. Just them two. Just walking back thinking, we've lost the Son of God, the purpose of the earth. We've lost Him. And they're walking back. And the thing is, how do you pray about that? Father in heaven, do you remember how Gabriel came and told us a couple of things? Yeah, well, we've sort of lost Him. Like, they would have felt like let's just sort this thing out and then we'll talk to God about it later. Now, we know that God knows everything, but seriously, don't you think that they would have felt a little bit silly thinking we've lost God on earth? We've lost Him. Now, we know that Jesus wasn't lost at all, but they didn't know that. Okay, remember, sometimes when you read your Bible, you think that they know what you now know. They didn't know what you now know. We know that they found Him. They didn't know whether they were ever going to find Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes you've got to put yourself into the Bible narrative and don't give away the ending as you're reading it. Because sometimes you know how it ends, but they didn't know how it ended. They had to trust God. And friends, let me just say this once again. It's disturbing when God is with you, but you don't think He is. But what's more dangerous is when you think God's really with you, but He's actually not. Now, some of you are going, how does that work? Is He with me or isn't He with me? Well, let me tell you something about God. He never, ever moves away from you, but you move away from Him all the time. And that's the way it works, friends. Friend, this is not a message about getting God close to you. Friends, He's as close as He possibly can be. This is a message about us getting back into closeness with Him. Amen? Because He never moves. He never moves. He stays right there. He stays put. He gives us promises. We move away. And here's a classic example of thinking God is with you when actually He's not. We see in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, and there's a strong guy called Samson, and we know that he had strength in his hair. You remember God said, if you cut your hair, you will lose your strength. Your strength, and it was supposed to be a secret, but he gave away his secret to the enemy, who was a woman at the time. And verse 20, it says, and then she cried out, Samson, this is Delilah, okay? She cries out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. Watch this. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free, but he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Now, friends, let me make something really, really clear. I'm not talking about your salvation today. You know, you can step away from God in some way, shape, or form. You have your off days. You have your days where you don't want to talk to God. You have your days where you don't really want to worship or praise Him. Friend, you're still saved. You're saved by grace through faith. You're not saved because you worship a lot. You're not saved because you even come to church. God is always there. But I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about having an anointing, a supernatural presence about you that when you walk into the room, people can sense the love of God. There's a holiness about you. When that gossipy girl at work gets around you, she either has to be repelled or she becomes a Christian, one or the other. I'm talking about us being Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-led Christians that people can sense. I'm talking about marriages that are on fire, that the couple across the road go, I want to be like you guys. I'm not talking about salvation today. That's the bare minimum. I'm talking about having an anointing that when you pray for people, they actually get healed. Friends, that type of anointing, oh yeah, you can think you've got it, but really, it's gone a long time ago. Why? Because you've made some decisions that have stepped you away from that. And I just want to encourage all of us, friends. I'm not talking about bare minimum salvation today. I'm talking about us being the sort of people that, man, people know that we're Christians. And there are miracles, signs and wonders going on everywhere. And here's my encouragement to you. Do you know how that happens? Don't leave Jesus in the temple. Don't leave Him here today. Don't leave him here at any stage. Don't leave him. You know when you go to a grow group, which is other small groups of people, of friends and family that meet in small homes, homes around our city. You know when you don't leave Jesus in that place either. Take whatever you're learning, take him with you on a journey. We're not just ticking boxes here, amen? You know, you even being here today, you know, some people are not here today, and that's fine because they're holidaying and that's great, but some people just, that's fine. That's fine. But yet, when they're going to really need God to do something in their life, okay, they're going to start to think, wow, what should I have been doing? Friends, let me tell you how miracles come. They come by faith. And how do you get faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. It says over and over again. Come on, let's be people who know how to celebrate, okay, but also know how to take him with us. Here's a couple of illustrations. After the celebration of the wedding, everybody wants God at the wedding. I'm going to suggest to you, don't just invite Jesus to your wedding. Invite him into your marriage. Everybody wants the big vows and the flowers, and that's lovely and it's beautiful, and the prayer and Pastors Richard and Helen, whoever, that's great. But friends, that doesn't really matter in comparison to what's going to be coming for the next 80 years, which is behaving like Jesus with each other, being romantic with each other, sacrificing for one another. Don't leave Jesus at the altar. Don't leave him at the altar. Take him home. Take him to the honeymoon. Oh, I don't think I want him at the honeymoon. Who do you think created that stuff you're going to do? Who do you think created it? It wasn't the devil. No, invite him into every sphere of your life. Amen? Don't just invite him to your marriage, to your wedding. Invite him into your marriage. Listen, after the celebration of building your house, that's, please God, help the builder build it properly. Please don't let us get ripped off. Please don't let them go broke. Yeah, that's wonderful. Please let us get the house at the right price. Everybody wants God there. That's great. But take him further and say, God, now we're going to use this house to celebrate you. We're going to have, yeah, come on, get excited. We're going to have barbecues. We're going to be, listen, don't, God, please let us buy a home. Please, God, we need you. I'm not saying don't do that. Do that. But then don't go, oh, we've got the house now. Now we're going to watch demonic movies, never have anybody over, gossip in our home, never love anybody. Friends, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, if you're gonna pray that he helps you get the home, then invite him into your home and make him the unseen guest at every conversation, at every dinner table. Amen. Come on, what's this message all about? Joseph and Mary went all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, and they left God in the house. And they didn't even know it, the Bible says. So here's a question to all of us. And please, if you're only new here today, you're thinking, well, it's a bit rough. Do you know whether he's actively present in your life? Or are you just thinking, well, I did Bible college 5 years ago. I haven't read the Bible since. I used to evangelize. I haven't done it for the last 15 years. But I'm sure he's still with me. Hey, I'm sure you're still saved. But is he with you the way he used to be? I'm not sure. Because you used to worship. Remember, you used to get in the shower. You used to actually sing worship songs. You know what? You haven't done that for years and years. But you still think the same anointing is upon you. That's what Samson did. He assumed he had the anointing, but he had lost it a long, long time ago. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? Friends, we're all good at celebrating Christmas. And I'm sure heaven goes, well done, you celebrate my birth. Now celebrate me living in your life, day to day, week to week. Give someone a high five, encourage them. Come on. Having celebrated having a child, you know, we're celebrating at the moment. We've just discovered we're going to have a little granddaughter. You know, that's wonderful. Like, we celebrated, we popped balloons, and that's great. Thank you. And I'm serious. Thank you, Jesus, for after this journey that Sarah's gone through. Thank you, Jesus. That's great. And I can hear heaven saying, this is just the beginning, buddy. You're going to have to pray for this grandchild now that they don't hang out with the wrong people. You're going to have to be praying that they're going to love God, that they love God's. Are you getting what I'm saying? Bringing a child into the world is just the beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's going to cost a lot of money and a lot of prayers and a lot of this and a lot of that. No. Come on. Don't just make Christianity something you do on a Sunday, friend. Friend, don't do it. That's not how you live your best life in the Christian world. It's not how you do it. It's actually what happens outside of this place.
You know, in this place, we're carrying you. You know, not many people swear in this place. I do say not many. There are a few of you that still go for it. God bless you. But most people, once they come into an environment like this, it sort of carries you. The holiness of this place carries you. I get it. The worship, and you just feel like, I don't know, does anyone else sort of just feel a little bit holier when you come into this? But you do, come on, be honest. Even what you listen to on your way to church is usually Christian music. Like you're getting yourself in the zone. Come on, be honest, right? You get yourself in the zone, right? You're not going to listen to the, and then, and then I slapped her in the head, and no, you're not listening to that, right? Right? No, you're not. It's like, you know, oh, he'll do it again. Yes, Jesus, right? And by the time you're in here, mate, you're floating. We see somebody, you're not even walking, right? You're just floating to your seat, right? But then come Monday, it's back to, What happened to you? You know, I can tell you, you left him in the house. That's what happened. You know what? If some of you are making big decisions right now as you're sitting there, you know what? He's right. I'm going to read my Bible. Yeah, I'm going to pray. Yes, I'm going to. But something happens. We get tempted to leave him here. It's like there's a sign at the door that says, please leave Jesus here. And some people live like that. And listen, there's something. I can't stop what you do. This is between you and God. I've just got to be a faithful preacher to say to you, please do not leave Jesus in the house. I'm going to continue to say it to you over and over again. Maybe even turn to the person beside you and say, do not leave Jesus in the house. Do not leave him in the house. Do you know what I love about this story? It doesn't say that Mary and Joseph did anything evil. Right? It's not like it says, and Mary being distracted because she was reading a Clio magazine. Or it doesn't say, and Joseph being distracted because he was gambling at the TAB. No, they were just two godly people who just got distracted. Can we all admit they just got a little bit distracted? Someone stopped looking for Jesus. But they were beautiful, holy people, guys. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not talking about us living in deep, dark sin even. These people were God-fearing, godly, beautiful, holy people who lost sight of Jesus. Listen to what I'm telling you. If it happened to Mary and Joseph, who are you that it wouldn't happen to you? Who are you that it wouldn't happen? Oh, but I've been raised a Christian. Did Gabriel turn up to your house and tell you that you were going to give birth to the Savior of the world? She lost sight of him. If it happened to her, it's going to happen to all of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is not about, come on, step away from deep, dark, evil things. This is just like, guys, it's so easy to lose sight of Jesus. And as we speak, I mean, every one of us can think of someone right now that should be sitting right beside you, but somewhere, somehow, they've lost sight of Jesus. Come on, let's be honest. They've just somehow lost sight of him. And that really saddens me because I just think there is so much more. And just when you think you've hit the pinnacle of Christianity, friends, you haven't hit the pinnacle yet. And how do you know that? Because you can't even count the stars in the sky. And apparently the universe is still expanding. There's a whole lot more to God than we could ever dream or imagine. And I don't know what you experienced in 1997 and you think, oh, that's the pinnacle of my Christianity. God says, no, there is more. There is more. There is more. There is more for you. There is more, friends. You know, let's be honest. You know, let's just call it what it is, okay? Since we've come back from COVID, you know, people have had plenty of opportunity to come back to church. And some I understand for whatever reason, they can't be here for whatever reason. And I'm not even going to speak them out, okay? Because I still believe that in Jesus' name, they can overcome those things, okay? But, you know, for some people, it's just like, nah, just don't really want to get back there. Well, that's okay, except that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, everyone say, go there, Pastor Rich. Yeah, go there, Pastor Rich. Yeah. Now, come on, let's not be afraid to go there. Let's speak some truth today. Amen? 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 Yeah. This is what your Bible says. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. I love the way the Bible suggests that some people do. It says, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Friends, this is not the time to be staying home. This is not the time. Why would you start living like that now when we are closer to the end that we have ever been? And if that frightens you, there's something wrong in your spirit. Because let me tell you, when Jesus comes back, you're going home. And if you're not sure about that, we're going to pray in a moment and we're going to secure that. But let me tell you something right now. Being a pastor, I get all the clips. I get all the YouTube clips. I get all the websites. I get everything. And some of them are like, are you serious? Why are you even on this site? And some of them are like, wow. Wow. For example, Sweden have just said, wouldn't it be easier if we just had our COVID passports in our hands? Really, Sweden? You think that's a great idea? Oh, yeah, it'd just be so much easier because then people can't fake stuff. And it'd just be so much easier to just put a little chip in every... You look it up for yourself. Sweden, 2 days ago this came out. 2 days ago, Sweden want to bring in a little chip that you put under your hand and some of you are like, oh, but it's just about the COVID thing. Yeah. You're so cute. Yes, really? You think it's just about that? Yeah, okay, good. All I'm telling you is your Bible predicted 2,000 years ago that there was going to be a day where you cannot buy or sell. It's what your Bible tells you, Revelation chapter 13, it told you 2,000 years ago. Do you know, a preacher couldn't get up in the 1800s and say, one day there's going to be something that comes out that you can't buy or sell without something on your right hand. Everybody would have gone, well, what could that possibly be? 2 days ago it came out. Like, I'm not saying that's it. Are you hearing? Please hear me. I'm not saying that's it. But we are closer than we have ever been to Jesus coming back for His bride. And He tried to warn us with 10 virgins who fell asleep and 10 virgins, five virgins who fell asleep and five who had their lamps full. Which one are you today? Jesus is being honest with us. Some people have fallen asleep. This is not the time to fall asleep. And He says He's coming back ready or not. And some people are like, should I go to church today? Really? At this time of the day? As in, at this time of history, you're going to start pulling away now? She reckons it's 11 a.m. That's what she told me. Siri, should I become a Christian? Yes, you should. Oh, that's amazing. I'm sorry if this is really strong. I'm just trying to be as honest as I can with you, okay? Okay, I'm being honest. And some of you are like, wow, does the Bible speak about things like that? The Bible is more relevant than tomorrow's paper. Yeah, every time you read a newspaper, it's just telling you what happened yesterday or a few hours ago. When you read the Bible, it's telling you what's happening tomorrow, the week after, a year from now. Amen? We're not reading some old-fashioned book. We are reading what's coming. And if that frightens you, I understand. Some of you just love life a lot, and there's nothing evil about that. Just be ready, that's all. Just be ready, because He's not going to, this is okay. Jesus is not looking down from heaven going, is everybody ready? Because we're never going to all be ready, which means He can never return. He's coming ready or not. And I'm going to suggest to you, don't be that person who does church here but you don't do church in your car, in your home, at your workplace, at the restaurant, when the meal comes late and they've overcooked your steak. You still got to be a Christian then too. Are you getting what I'm saying today? We are not trying to be, let's just build the biggest church we can and who cares if anyone's even going to heaven. No. We're building a family for the kingdom of God here. Amen. And I still believe you can build a mega church on people who love truth. I still believe you can build a mega church on people who want to please their God. Amen? So come on, someone. I want you on this journey. Don't leave Jesus in the temple. Are you with me? Can I give you just a couple more points and then I'm well and truly done. Is that all right? This is what James chapter 4 verse 8 says. It says, draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Who does the drawing near first? See, some of us are waiting for God to come and then we're going to fire up. God says, no, I already came. We just celebrated that. We just celebrated He came. Now it's up to us to draw near to God and then He just draws near even closer again. Listen, the level of your intimacy with God is not based on God. It's based on you. Not feeling very close to God, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. It's my fault. I'm not being negative, I'm telling you the honest truth. You start prioritizing Him. you start giving Him some value in your life, you start reading His Word, hang out with His people, come to His church, worship His name, that's called drawing near. And as you begin to do that, all of a sudden, you start to feel like, man, my Christianity's on fire. Man, I just feel like, what's happened to me? It just happened all of a sudden. No, it didn't. You built that. You drew near to God, and then He just came straight to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So listen, we get an opportunity right now. So come on, get up on your feet. Right across this place. We get to draw near. We get to draw near to Him. And for some people, it's like, oh, I'm not sure I want to draw too near to God. Well, that's okay. It's your call. Your call. Then there's some people in this room and you're saying, I want to draw so near to God. I need Him so desperately. I need to make some wise decisions. I'm single. Not me, but some people are thinking like this. I'm single. I need to make the right decision on the next person. Yes, you do. And when your heart's full, you can think straight. When your heart's empty, you'll take anything. And you haven't got time for that, to be honest. You haven't got time for that. You need to find the right person pretty quickly. There's not a time limit, but it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, how are you going to make the right decision? Because you haven't got it right so far. Easy. The God of the universe knows who you need. You just got to draw near to Him. Come on, financially, for some of you, it's like, come on. When are we going to start moving forward? Draw near to Him. How about just drawing near to Him because He's awesome? How about that? How about just drawing near to God because He's just awesome and I love you a lot? Come on, give Him a huge round of applause. You're just awesome, Lord.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.